You got the number 7 record in the country.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
And my name is Nick. Hey, Rob, you've got the number 7 record in the country.
What country? Slovakia?
Wake up the bass player.
One hit wonders.
I thought it was charming that their name was the Wonders. I thought it was genius.
It's the Own Eaters. Now, we're not talking about the movie, That Thing You Do. We're talking
about recast, actual... rebooting That Thing You Do? That sounds like a plan. No? All right.
That's like recast rebooting Godfather.
Which we will get to, America. It's going to happen.
Yeah. In America, we're also going to probably recast WKRP in Cincinnati. And The Love Boat. I think that's a good one to do. Major characters have passed away this year.
Yes, unfortunately.
Of those shows. So I think a recast reboot is in order. And we don't do too many TV shows. So
did you see the horror remake of Fantasy Island? I thought that was weird and I didn't like it.
I thought it was good to a point.
Should it have been called Fantasy Island? Couldn't they call it something else?
Welcome to Fantasy Island.
What are we talking about today, Rob?
The one-hit wonders of the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Part one, because there's just too many, folks.
Way too many. And because I'm the older one, as Nick likes to say, he's giving me the 70s and the 80s, and he's going to take the 90s.
I was going to give you the 50s and the 60s, but I didn't want you to get mad at me.
I would be researching for months on end if it was the 50s and 60s. It was all one-hit wonders back then.
All the ones I have, I've drank in a beer or two at a bar. No question about it. I had the easy task with the 90s.
So you're saying that in a one-hit wonder, you'll do what?
I mean, I guess I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
All right, folks, it's officially started for this episode. The I'll allow count is on. Drink up every time Nick says it.
All right, so what are we doing? These are the best one-hit wonders of the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
You and your best list. We don't do best lists because I got chewed out for somebody misunderstanding a best list. So we'll talk about that a few
times. I can't control everybody's appetite. It's just a podcast, folks.
Okay. I'm picking 3 popular songs from the 70s that were one-hit wonders, and I'll tell you why they were. We'll go on from there. And the same thing with the 80s.
Okay, give me what you got.
The 70s, 1975. The Hustle. Do the Hustle! Disco song.
All right.
You know The Hustle, you know.
It's a staple wedding song now.
It's a staple wedding song. And for one thing, The Hustle is also a dance. So my question to you, Nick.
Helping white guys dance for, what is that now, 25, 46 years?
25, 46, good math. Okay. Depending on what decade you're listening to this podcast.
A little look into the mind of Captain Tangent.
So my question is, you know, it was also a dance, The Hustle.
Sure, yeah.
All right. Which came first, the song or the dance?
Man, that's a good question. I would assume the song. Am I wrong about that?
You are wrong. The dance actually came first and they built the song around the dance.
They built a song out of the dance. That is freaking weird.
This song is done by Van McCoy and the Soul City Symphony. Van McCoy, this is his first and only song as a performer.
Okay.
It also won a Grammy for Best Pop Instrumental.
Huh.
It's been used in popular culture as far as TV shows. It was on an episode of, I believe, Family Guy and also in That's 70s show.
That makes
pivotal
sense.
Scene in That 70s show. Now, Van McCoy actually wrote over 700 songs for lots of major artists. So he has written songs for a lot of people that have charted, but this is the only one as a performer that he did that has charted, and it went to the Billboard Hot 100 number one slot. It was there for a while, like maybe 3 or 4 weeks, which back in the 70s during the disco era was a big thing. So this is his one-hit wonder, The Hustle.
It's not the chicken dance, but I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
Drink up, America. The chicken dance.
Keep it going. I'm being educated. I like this.
Okay. Another song. Now, this song was actually released in late 1969. So December of 1969, making this a 70s song.
Close enough, yeah.
Recorded by Norman Greenbaum. The song is called Spirit in the Sky.
Hell yeah, that's a good one. Yep. I liked it best in Apollo 13, but it's been in a ton of shit.
It's been in so many movies, so many TV shows.
It's a great opening riff. I'll definitely give it that.
It is. It's a great
like the
riff.
The feedback from the speakers, you know, I really dig that.
Yep. The clicking.
Yeah.
Which, if you saw the remake of The Longest Yard, they use this song in there and it clicks with the signal on the prison bus. they're making the turn into the stadium, which is pretty good. But this song was released, like I said, in late 1969, charted in 1970. It is a gold record. It went to number 3 on the Hot 100 Billboard list. This single sold over 2 million copies in 1 year. 2 million copies in 1 year. This is when they actually had little plasticky vinyl-y things that you could put on a, like I'll call the record player, if anybody doesn't know what that is. Look it up, Google it. So this song was actually covered by another band in the 80s called Doctor and the Medics, if you ever heard their version.
Yeah, I have actually. Also, it's been covered a bunch of times actually, but that, I think that's the most popular one.
Doctor and the Medics is also a one-hit wonder in its own right with this song because it fit with theirs. Also,
you know what we find? I just want to interject for a moment, and I did this with my research too. If we get to the 90s, it's shocking how many of these one-hit wonders, the song, you know, not always written by the artist, the first one that we've heard, some of them have been re-released multiple times and been one-hit wonders multiple times, which is really weird. There's a bunch of them like that.
There's also a version of this done by Elton John.
Yeah, I've heard that one. I like it.
On his Rare Sessions album.
Yep.
So
90s, I mean, early 90s, somewhere in there.
So that's my second one from the 70s.
Also, that's got great lyrics. Some of the one-hit wonders aren't super proud, you know, when you get to Tub Thumping or Mambo Number 5 or whatever. But like the Spirit in the Sky, look at those lyrics. I mean, when I die, they lay me to rest, going to go to a place the best. I mean, like that is a really, really well-written song. And I can't say that for a lot of the other ones I looked up.
And a lot of them think that it's a Christian song, which it isn't.
Yeah.
It's far from it. I find it to be a happy song.
Yeah,
it
it's like a hippie song, maybe.
It's a happy hippie song. Yeah, yeah. Hippie happy. And my third one from the 70s, Nick, is from the group The Ides of March. This was released in 1970, and this song is called Vehicle.
This was a big hit, huh?
This was a huge hit. It's funk rock. A lot of people thought this band, because they had a huge horn section, they thought this band was actually Blood, Sweat, and Tears, which forced them to buy the song, which pumped it up the charts.
Really? Interesting.
Right. Because of that, it became the fastest selling single in the history of Warner Brothers Records.
That is pretty shocking.
It made it all the way up to number 2 on the Hot 100 in Billboard charts. And if you're at any college football game or any high school football game and they have a brass band or a, you know, just a band for
I think
the
that's
school,
where most people know it from. Yeah, it's like a marching band song.
You will hear this song played.
Yeah.
So those are my 70s songs.
All right. I liked all three of those. Pretty much every one of the one-hit wonders, even the ones I don't like, they're like earworms. You can't help it. Genuinely speaking, when you're, shooting around XM radio or whatever you listen on your iPod or whatever, you'll stop and finish that song out. That's why they're one-hit wonders, you know?
That's right. I'm moving on to the 80s because I want to get through the 80s so I can hear your 90s. After my 80s, I'm going to give you two extra ones from Mrs. Bookie that are her one-hit wonders, her favorites. So 1988, a nice little singer out of Sweden, Nina Cherry. This is a hip-hop freestyle dance pop song.
What is it now?
She's Swedish.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Her name is Nina Cherry. So it's a hip-hop freestyle dance pop song.
Okay.
The song is called Buffalo Stance.
Buffalo Stance. Okay.
Now, what the interesting part about this is that the song is about
a gigolo?
other musicians, photographers, okay. Basically people that are out trying to hustle.
Yeah.
You know, to get their status up there so people notice them. Now, what's even more cool about this song is, do you know who she is?
Nina Cherry. I do not know.
Okay. Have you ever heard of Eagle Eye Cherry?
Yes.
He had a one-hit wonder of his own called Save Tonight.
Yeah, good song.
Save Tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow I'll be gone. So, her
I was thinking, was
brother,
he a one-hit wonder? He had a couple good ones, but yeah, he was probably a one-hit wonder.
Well, one-hit wonders are based primarily in the United States, so that's what you have to remember.
Gotcha.
Because they're European. You can have a one-hit song in Europe singing Mary Had a Little Lamb, and then the next time you put a single out, it could be, you know, another nursery rhyme, and you can keep getting nursery.
Right.
It's Europe. Eurovision is weird. But
honestly, like, I lived over there, Rob, and that is a no-brainer. Those who know me know that I complain about that Madonna Ray of Light album because I was there for 2 years and I must have heard 90 different versions of that same effing song at every nightclub and bar I went to. It was slightly different. Mambo Number 5 Five was one of those that was just like a million different remixes of the same song, and they think nothing of that.
Well, Europe is the capital of remixing. So, I mean, if you were in Ibiza, I would feel really sorry for you.
Well, don't feel bad for me if I'm in Ibiza.
So, Nita Cherry's father also is Don Cherry, and not the Don Cherry
jazz,
you're thinking of.
Jazz guy, yeah.
Yeah, not Don Cherry, the hockey coach.
Yeah.
And he passed away in 1995. So, they had the distinction of being Nita Cherry and Eagle Eye Cherry had the distinction of being a brother and sister duo, both having one-hit wonders.
It's crazy. It's a musical family, but they didn't, yeah, I guess not the prolonged career that you would expect there.
All right, my next one from the 80s, from 1985. It's from a group called The Outfield, and the song is Your Love.
I love this song. Josie's on a vacation far away. It's not even fair that that's a one-hit wonder, because that fucking song is an all-timer.
You know where they play that song a lot, Nick?
I don't want to lose your love tonight.
During Patriots games.
They play it during baseball games, too. A lot of sports stadiums play it, but yeah, they play it. I'm sure they play it at Patriot games.
Well, they play it at Gillette, and when they play it at Gillette, the entire stadium sings the song.
Yeah. Sometimes you can get mad at, like, the Sweet Caroline thing at Fenway or maybe the outfield at Gillette Stadium, but I think that I love all that stuff. I find it to make the experience so much better.
Josie's on a vacation far away.
They're now, British. They don't even really sound British. That song sounds like really American. It's kind of weird. Plus, they're called The Outfield.
Exactly. And their album was based on a baseball term as well.
It doesn't have to make sense, right?
Okay. So in pop culture, that song, if you remember, was used in a Bounce Dryer Sheets commercial. It was a parody version of it, though, but it was actually kind of funny because it made you remember the song.
Yeah.
And actually, many sitcoms have actually used this as well. Family Guy. Family Guy uses a lot of music. They use a lot of songs.
Yeah.
So it's been in that. Now, it is a very cool song, and we know we love it, but it's a completely made-up story and has nothing to do with anything. Uh-huh. They wrote that song in 20 minutes.
Is that right? Yes. I'm always fascinated by stuff like that when you hear that something like, you know, they wrote the song in 10 minutes in the back of the bus and it just turned out they got stuck playing it for 50 years or whatever. It's crazy. I love that song. That song would make my top 200 or something list. That's how much I love that song. It's crazy.
And as far as the Billboard Hot 100 chart, it made it to number 6.
Didn't make number 1 in America, huh?
Didn't make that's number 1, but, you know, a one-hit wonder is anything that's on the Hot 100 chart.
Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of mine didn't make number 1.
And the funny thing about it is if you're actually look at the lyrics and listen to the lyrics, it's a cool song, yet it's kind of creepy if you really look.
It is a little creepy. Like every police song ever written, just a little weird, a little creepy.
Yeah. My last song of the 80s is from Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Oh, that's a good song. I feel like, are they one-hit wonders? I guess they are.
Well, it's strange because you think that they're a two-hit, but the other hit, the flip side of this single, was bigger in the UK than it was here, to a point. So Frankie Goes to Hollywood, named after a headline for Frank Sinatra when he went to Hollywood to go film From Here to Eternity, I believe.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
It's called Relax. Relax. Don't do it.
When you want to come.
This is a one-hit wonder.
Fucking song was banned.
Yes, it was banned in the UK.
That's how stupid we are.
The flip side of this single was actually Two Tribes, which is probably the other song you're thinking of.
Yeah, that's a pretty good tune. Doesn't that count as like maybe not a one-hitter, but maybe because I guess it's on the same record, right?
Yeah, it didn't crack. They made a great video. Video charts are different. So
both the videos are good. Yeah, totally separate thing.
But
we're going to cover videos on East to West. Don't worry.
The bass line of this song is just incredible. And like you said, it was banned by the BBC.
Unbelievable, right? These fucking guys were from Liverpool. They banned them. It's so stupid.
So this song made the Billboard Hot 100 at number 10. And if you're a fan of the movie Zoolander, you know that this is his trigger song, which is used at the end of Zoolander, which on that soundtrack, there is a cover version of this by Limp Bizkit, which is kind of like
it's
what
not
you
bad.
Hear.
It's not good, but it's not bad. I've heard it.
But it's good. I mean, at least they don't change it too much. It's great. And this is why my third one from the 80s, which I think is like influential and in pop culture, it's been used in a lot of things. Relax, Don't Do It, of course, used in The Wedding Singer. Try the Fish, and he's like, relax. He's got the t-shirt on. It was just, you remember the t-shirts, what it spawned from that.
It was almost a cultural movement. It was bringing, you know, some sexuality out to the open, which of course in the 80s, mid 80s, what's it like 83, 84, is that what you said?
Yeah.
That's like, you know, we're still repressed at that time, obviously, in England, very repressed. list.
And I have the two special ones.
Yeah, let's hear the shouts from Mrs. Bookie.
Mrs. Bookie has come up with two, both from 1988. One is from the singer Karen White, and she had a song which has been sung a lot on a lot of singing competition shows, and it's called Superwoman. I'm not your superwoman. I'm singing it horribly because it's a female song. This won the Grammy for Best Song R&B in 1989.
Okay.
The next one is from Brenda Russell, and it's called Piano in the Dark.
Yeah, that one I know. That's a pretty good tune.
Now, that also won a Grammy in 1989.
A lot of these songs won Grammys. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it won actually Song of the Year for Best Pop Vocal Performance by a Group.
Jesus.
Now, Brenda Russell is actually famous for writing another song, especially if any of our listeners served over in the Gulf during the first Gulf War. She wrote Get Here.
Yeah.
Now, her version of Get Here went nowhere, but Aaliyah Adams did a version of Get Here, which was like, boom.
Yeah,
that was the
one
that blew up and was like the huge chart topper. Aaliyah Adams, obviously, I believe, is also a one-hit wonder in her own right for this song.
Right.
But that's Brenda Russell, and she wrote Piano in the Dark, and that was her huge one-hit wonder song. That's what Mrs. Bookie has come up with.
I like both of those. That's different. Yeah, it's different than your list. I appreciate that. There's a nice dichotomy between Mr. and Mrs. Bookie.
You know, she's a little bit R&B, and I'm a lot bit rock and roll, so.
All right, well, let me give you a few from the 90s. I'll keep it nice and tight. You know, the 90s, maybe not the greatest decade in music, but since it's the decade I grew up in, I appreciate it and remember it. And in the 90s, we had some freaking epic one-hit wonders. Pretty much everybody listening is going to remember every single one of mine. I'm not going too far off the deep end. I'm going to start with a song. No, it's not Queen and David Bowie's Under Pressure. That's our buddy Robert Van Winkle singing Ice Ice Baby, 1990 with DJ Earthquake. That fucking song. Holy shit. By the way, the video was made for $8,000. The video's not that bad. I watched it the other day. I'm like, you know what? Meh, it's not bad. $8,000.
Well, it's a great song and an aspect that it made a lot of money for Rob Van Winkle.
Stands the test. By the way, Under Pressure is one of my top 25 songs of all time. I want to point that out. Check out Real Watchability to see that list. But this song, like, actually, like, okay, he fucking screwed up because he didn't admit that he had stole the track or whatever. Eventually they settle out of court. Yeah, that whole story is epic.
No, theirs goes dum 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 dum.
Yeah,
mine goes dum 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 dum.
Yeah, right.
That was the little at the end.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that, Robert. Yeah, but I mean, they're actually both really good songs. Now, he's definitely a one-hit wonder. He tried a bunch of other shit. I think he went country for a while and a ton of other stuff.
Oh, he did that song. The turtle movie one too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go. Come on.
Same song, essentially.
I like that song, actually. Secret of the Ooze, not Ninja Turtles 1. This is part 2. He had a song called I Love You a year later. It wasn't good. I'll leave it at that.
I think he's made like 40 versions of the song in all different genres. The same exact song.
I root for him though. He's been on a ton of reality TV shows too. It's not like I see him and think he's a failure. I see him and I'm like, yeah, that guy he's got a good note in his story.
Nick, I have a love-hate relationship with the song. Like when it first came out, I liked it. And then for a while, I kind of like, yeah, love it. But doing a karaoke show all the years that I did,
I'm sure, hack
this song and destroy it and get lost.
I'm going to tell you right now, Uncle Bookie, every single one of mine, you're going to have that same problem with.
I'm going to have PTSD karaoke flashbacks.
All right, so let's move on from Mr. Van Winkle here. It's funny because, and I might want to ask your opinion because you're the music expert on this pod, but, you know, I hadn't heard a lot of sampling. I know it had been done before Ice Ice Baby, but at least mainstream, something that caught on and played that much on the radio. What was your take on like when Puff Daddy and everybody else started sampling stuff and then adding hip hop tracks and rap over the top of it? Were you a fan of that? Because I thought that stuff was great.
Well,
you get some nostalgia and you get something new.
My opinion of it is that as long as they got the permission to do it, I mean, as long as you're not Biz Markie just taking songs and just using them.
Right. That's the caveat, right?
Yeah. So as long as they get permission to use it, what happens is when they sample something from another song, people go, ooh, what is that? And they want to know what it is, and they research it.
And they download it. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So they
learn something.
The original.
I totally agree with you on that.
I love it as long as they get permission to do so, and they get the blessing of the artist to do it.
Plus, the other artist is going to get some royalties, going to get some money out of it. Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. And they get a songwriting credit on the song that the person's putting out. So,
all right, my next one, to keep it moving here, is, listen, I thought that this guy had more than one song that I liked. He had a song in the 70s called Sail On that I sort of liked, but Tom Cochran made a song, Life is a Highway. And and you mentioned videos. This was just a plain video of him in a highway. I fucking love the song. It's a plain song. It's just a regular rock song. A sousaw of country in there. And I fucking listen to it endlessly. I still listen to it today. It's been covered a couple times. The Rascals. The Rascal Flatts. Yeah.
The movie Cars.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and you know what? It plays good in that movie too. So, but I loved it, and it made, I think, number four, number six, depending on what chart you're looking at. And that video was played endlessly. So Tom Cochran's Life is a Highway, big part of my life.
Now, that's his solo effort, and that's his one-hit wonder, but he was actually in some bands which had huge hits.
Yeah, I'm not sure what other bands he was in. He was, Red Rider was one of them.
Lunatic Fringe is Red Rider. That's right off the top of my head.
Yep, that's right. You nailed that. So, yeah. And again, a lot of these guys, what you're going to find is that they're producers, they're songwriters for other bands. They're just involved in the music industry, even though they only had one crack, had like a big hit or one big hit record. So
when I compare his to Rascal Flatts, so I do like the original better than Rascal Flatts.
Oh, it's so much better. Rascal Flatts is like put through the drying machine.
I'm picturing a car with big eyes for headlights and
Paul Newman as a Ford fucking.
Yeah, exactly.
No, cash those paychecks. I don't have any problem with that. All right. So my next one, keeping it moving here. I'm going to give you Chumbawamba's Tub Thumping. This was one of the rare ones that I fucking hated, actually. And like over time, I grew to like it because they played it so much at bars and stuff. It was 97, and Chumbawamba is, they're British, I think mostly British. Mostly what I like about it is the track that the lady sings, Pissing the Night Away. You know, the other shit is like just a guy fucking walking around talking, so. But it does have a catchy track, and there's a little bit of sampling in there that I enjoyed. Boy, it made it to number one, which is shocking. And I listened to it in England and in America, and they played the shit out of it for about 5-6 years straight.
You know what's good about this song? It leads into our second segment.
Drinks a whiskey drink. She drinks a lager drink. She drinks a cider drink. Yeah, I thought you'd appreciate that one. And they did have a couple of other songs that I liked. Amnesia was one of them. Just Look at Me Now is another one. So again, you know, the blurry line for me, I'm a little sensitive on who we think are one-hit wonders or not. I'm not bringing up Natalie Imbruglia because she's not a one-hit wonder. But I'll give you another one, and this one is remarkably important, not just to my youth, not just to my formative years, my first girlfriends and things like that, but it gave every bar something to play to tell people it's time to go the fuck home. And that's why I appreciate Semisonic's 1997, number one, by the way, and had a great, pretty solid video too, Closing Time, which is just beautiful. It's just a beautifully written song and pretty simple lyrics that get the job done.
My God. I was requested to play this song to actually close the night.
Yeah, it's the rule. It's in your contract.
It went on for a while until I got really sick of hearing it, because when you're asked to play it to end the night, it's like, my God, please make it stop. And then one night I got so pissed, I switched it to Two Live Crew, Get the Fuck Out.
Yeah, it's not bad either. The funny thing about this one is like, you hear it so much. And I remember, you know, you live in Las Vegas long enough, you forget there is a last call, and you go to another state and you realize, okay, 2 a.m. is when this state stops drinking or whatever. So then they play the song and you're like, oh, okay, I love this song. And then you're like, wait, they're telling me to leave, aren't they?
Yeah, get out. You know,
get the fuck out. That's exactly what they're saying.
My favorite to get people out of the bar was I'd make sure I'd flick the lights on. I'd say, all right, the ugly lights are on. Grab your asshole and take them home. Get out.
That's beautiful. Yeah. All right, let me sneak in one more before we run out of time here, because I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up one of my favorite, if not my favorite, one-hit wonder of all time. And this is a legit, because I definitely don't like any of their other songs. And I have tried, believe me. Deep Blue Something's Breakfast at Tiffany's. Not the movie, which we've recast, rebooted, but the fucking song, which is amazing. I will go to war with anybody who wants to fight me on this. It's a great song. It's just an acoustic guitar, a nice jam, a little bit of drums in the background, and some beautiful, nice lyrics. I thought it was great. They're American, and there's not too many American one-hit wonders on my list, so I wanted to make sure I give them shouts.
Well, thankfully, no one's ever sung this at a karaoke show I've ever done in my life, which I'm
probably not an easy one to sing, right? Degree of difficulty on this probably not as pretty high, right?
Yeah, like this song, their lyrics and their intricacies of how they built them.
They seem like they have accents, but they're American, right? It's kind of weird. They have like a weird vibe about them.
Yeah, it's hard for a karaoke singer to kind of get around it unless they're a professional singer. Like this, Gin Blossoms, any of those other bands like that.
This is very hard to sing. You know me, Rob. I am so guilty of the alternative rock tag or whatever's playing on VH1 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That type of rock music, radio rock or whatever you want to call it. I'm very guilty of that. And this was 1995. I'm 15 years old. This was one that led me right into that. Spin Doctors. I mean, that fucking album I played till it burnt out of my CD player.
Two Princes.
Yeah. Not a one-hit wonder. That's a great album top to bottom, and they had a second album, which was very good, so I'm not including them.
I'm going to add on to your list there to close out the segment, because
I have others.
when I used to close out my shows, I would play two songs back-to-back, one of them being the band James, and the song was Laid.
Oh, yeah. I like that tune. That's a great tune. What are we here for? We're here to get laid anyway. What are we talking about?
And I would mix this song into My Own Worst Enemy by Lit. Because if you look at the lyrics, woke up on your
another
lawn.
Another amazing intro, by the way.
Exactly. One hit wonder as well.
Tell me why.
It's just amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing.
I guess they're a one hit wonder. I would never think of them as a one hit wonder. I like that whole album, but I guess that was the only one that really took.
It depends. I mean, the '90s was very congested, full of a lot of stuff that I think.
House of Pain was 92. That's really their only hit is Jump Around. I don't remember any other song they did.
Shamrocks and Shenanigans. All right, folks, if you have any questions, concerns, want to add anything, want to give us any advice, want to yell at us, swear at us, whatever you want to do, you can email us at easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
Catch us on Twitter at nickandrobe2w.
E2W, hard to say.
Or our website, www.nickandrobe2w.com.
Even harder to say, really, when you think about it.
Well, anyway, we talked about all these songs, probably owe a lot of royalties, so we need to pay for them. So let's have a little word from our sponsor.
Anchor, I touch myself.
Hey, don't let your mother smell that beer in your breath. She'll take it out on me.
And we are back.
What are we talking about next, Rob?
Well, Nick, I guess you want to talk sports.
Popped bubbles.
Play the music.
Oh, ginger ale, ginger pop, ginger beer, beer bubbles, bubble-aid, bubble cola, double bubble burp-a-cola, and all the crazy carbonated stuff that tickles your nose.
The emotion of pop bubble talk, unmatched. You have the same emotion for pop bubble sports talk as John Stockton has for anti-vaxxing. All right. So the sports segment, look, I'll keep it brief for the people. The Red Sox are actually tied for first place. So even with a lot of mediocre pitching, Pavetta coming back to earth, Erod coming back to earth, Martin Perez sort of mixed bag, Eovaldi a little bit up and down, although he's been the best guy in the rotation. This is a fun team with Carlos Arroyo jacking out grand slams. We got a deep, deep bench. It's fun. It's exciting. If you're not on board yet, get on board. And I just wanted to ask you, Rob, when we talk about the MVPs in baseball right now, I've had a lot of fun this year. I know not everybody has, but you know, some weird rules and we hate the commissioner. But regardless of that, I watch so much West Coast baseball. I watch Fernando Tatis Jr. I watch Shohei Ohtani constantly. But there's a guy on the East side with no home named Vlad Jr. Those three guys are MVP caliber players. Who do you think is going to have the most staying power?
Wow.
They're all so fun to watch.
NL MVP, probably Fernando Tatis.
Even if he misses like 30 games, he's still going to fucking get it, probably.
Yeah, and American League is going to be Vladdy. I mean,
you think so? Even if Ohtani goes like 8-2 or something, pitching,
it's tough. It's tough with him because he
not
plays
in our lifetime. Not in our lifetime.
He plays hard both sides.
Yeah, and he's good. And he's a good person. That's fucking weird, too.
Can they have a Cy VP? Valuable player?
They should just make a new award for him. Fuck it. Baseball's doing a bunch of weird shit anyway.
I think
give him an award for runner on second base in gold.
The MVP this year is Vagisil.
I'll allow it.
You know what, Rob? I'll allow it.
Drink up, America.
All right, enough of baseball. Look, I think it's fun also, even though I'm not watching quite as much. The NBA is weird, right? I'm glad to see the Lakers gone. Very sad to see the Celtics go. But we're going to have a weird final no matter what happens. Sixers and Hawks are 3-3. Bucks and Nets are 3-3. And then it's Suns Clippers on the other side. Who do you want to see in the finals? I kind of want CP3 in the finals. I think Chris Paul has earned it.
I don't care.
Wow, that ripped.
I'd like to see Giannis. I don't know. I'm not sure who I want on the east side. But
you've been telling me you want to see Yanni for years. I mean, just go to the Acropolis and see him.
Just an incredible piano player. And look at the hair. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Mustache game is on, too.
Michael Bolton is super jealous. All right, so on the hockey side, you know, the Bruins got knocked out by the Islanders. Tampa looks like they're, say, close to dominating the Islanders. They're up 2-1. On the other side, my Knights, and everybody calls them Knights, so what's up with the Golden, are losing the Canadiens 2-1. You got a preference on hockey? hockey. I kind of want Tampa, Vegas, but I think it's going to be Montreal, Tampa.
I do not want Tampa at all. I'm sick of people in Tampa thinking
they're
the new title town.
They're good, though. They have two lines that are good. And when you have two lines in hockey, that's usually enough to get it done, plus a hot goaltender.
All right, so. I'm going to go on a quick little tangent. People of Tampa.
When the fuck did this happen?
You've won a Stanley Cup before, if I'm not mistaken, people of Tampa. It's not the first time you're going to win a Stanley Cup if you happen to make it there. And you know what? Maybe you won't win it. So, people of Tampa, learn the history of your sports teams. You don't have seven Super Bowls in Tampa.
I got some advice for Tampa because they have a really good baseball team with a lot of young youth that's playing really well. I would say overachieving, even though they have a kind of a somewhat bratty Tyler Glasnow, although we sort of disagree on that one.
He wants a sunscreen, that's why.
Yeah, he wants his sunscreen. Yeah, another one-hit wonder. But regardless of that, like, look, they don't go to the fucking baseball games. How about this? Fucking stop drinking on your boats and go to a fucking baseball game. Support that team. They're good.
How about Tampa Bay closes their baseball team down, packs up their buses like Vegas. They did in Cleveland back in there, and move to Vegas.
They should be. St. Petersburg, that's a joke. They should be in Vegas. I totally agree with you, Rob.
They play inside an old air conditioner.
All right, let's talk about something that I care about a lot. I know you don't have a super hot take on this, and I'm still processing it, to be honest. I don't totally know. We know the Celtics are looking for a coach, but Brad Stevens makes a move as team president, and it's kind of a big one, Rob. The Celtics traded away Kemba Walker. They gave away their number one pick in this year's draft. It's going to be number 16 to the Oklahoma City Thunder to get back 35-year-old town favorite, Al Horford, center, an undrafted rookie who, you know, has been pretty good journeyman for the last couple of years, Moses Brown, and they got a second round pick back. They save about $20 million in the deal, but they kind of wipe the chessboard clean of Kemba Walker, maybe allowing us to keep Marcus Smart. And I think, even though I love Kemba, we both know he's a nice guy, I think that team didn't fit. So he was almost untradeable with that contract he had. To get Al back, even though he's older, I don't know. I kind of like the move. I'm still processing it, but what are your thoughts on that one? It's kind of a big splash.
Well, it's
before the finals even started, he made the deal, which is shocking.
It's a young team, so they do need a veteran presence on the team. So,
and Al, he was a fan favorite, just like Kemba was.
Yes. And back in the days of yore, you know, when Cedric Maxwell was there and he had cornbread and people loved
Larry
him.
Larry Legend was waiting for Len Bias and he was shepherding Reggie Lewis. I mean, that's what you should have, a good mix of youth and vets. Let me ask you this question, though, because I think this is what's important to me. And you have the zeitgeist of Boston there. So the question is, did maybe Stevens never want to get rid of Al Horford and want to give him a max deal? And did he ever want Kemba Walker? Or were those Danny Ainge moves? That's the drama part of it I'm somewhat interested in.
Well, much like the sands of time through the hourglass, these are the days of our lives.
Fucking out of here, right? Doesn't matter, really, does it?
Yeah, he's out of here. Who gives a shit? He's gone.
All right. It was a pretty big splash. I was somewhat shocked. Again, you text me that, and I was like, that can't be true.
Even though it came directly from the Score website,
I just thought your editing skills were really good, and I was like, wow, how did he make it look like it's from the Score?
I have done that to you before. You know that.
Yeah. That's why I don't trust anything you tell me. All right. That's really all I have for sports talk.
You thirsty?
What is the malted liquor? What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
The food segment today is beer.
Beer, one of the oldest and most consumed alcoholic beverages in the world.
Seasonal, what the weather is like, where I'm at socially, if I'm watching sports or not. There's a lot of variability to the beers I like, and I like a lot of different types. So this is a tough segment for me.
I like seasonal beers. I'm more of like, I'll drink a beer every now and then. I don't drink them all the time.
Me neither. Yeah, I'm a scotch and whiskey and a little wine. I rotate.
And I'm vodka, bourbon, rum. I like the hot stuff, but...
You don't fuck around.
No, I don't.
You know, I'm Italian.
You like olive oil, and I like olive oil. Wait a minute.
Listen, I'll drop an olive or two in my pale ale. No question about it.
There you go. And I'll drop an Italian hot sausage link in mine. You know?
Can I ask this question, Uncle Bookie? Because this is kind of a New England thing. And actually, it's not true, because there's a bunch of them out here west, too. But do you know the guy who brews his own beer in the basement? You got that friend?
I do actually have that friend. I worked with a guy who brewed his own beer.
Oh, fantastic. It's always an IPA. It's a super dark one. And he's going to tell you all about it.
The guy I loved, he used to tell me. He loved the stuff that floated around in the bottle. I'm like,
that's
okay.
Exactly what I don't like about those. blueberries in it because I don't know. Fuck it, man.
What did he used to drink? He drank the bastard, old dirty bastard, or something.
Old dirty
like,
bastard. Yeah.
I think that's what it is. We used to always like laugh and joke about him drinking his beer, and he liked his beer warm. You know,
oh,
he liked
so gross.
He liked his burgers very rare, like you know, just hover them over the grill.
Arrogant bastard.
That's it. Arrogant bastard. He loved that.
Yeah.
He probably still loves it. I mean, you know. So shouts out to Bob.
Beer is good. Beer is good. It's good.
Shouts Bob. That is like the hoppiest beer that you could possibly fucking drink.
He would take his burger and just hover it over a grill, like 10 seconds across, seal it in tongs, and he'd throw it on his bun and eat it. That was good enough for him.
Burger tartare.
Burger tartare.
Just pour a little of my arrogant bastard on there and put it over the flame for a second or two.
Now, of course, beer, one of the oldest beverages made by monks, because the monks also made pretzels.
Kevin Costner's Robin Hood. That's where it was invented.
Yeah, he also was wearing a Rolex in that movie, too.
Nothing wrong with that. His Rolex accent, spot on.
Yes. So, Belgium, England, Czech Republic, yes. United States, it's Germany, China. I mean, everybody makes their own beer. Some believe
and drinks
even
it a different way. As you mentioned, your friend who drinks it warm. I went to Belgium and I had warm beer, and man, it was gross. Still enjoyed it, and it gets you drunk, but it's gross. All right, let me start this off because I like a lot of different things, and I would never lie about that. And I rotate based on the season. Vegas is very hot right now, so I'm drinking light, cold, probably amber brews or Heineken Light or Sammy Light
water
beers. Yeah, exactly. but I rotate all the time. Pretty much, I like my beer. Like I like my whiskey, which is Irish. So I'm big into the Irish beers for mostly the stouts, like Guinness, obviously the most famous one. But there's other ones I really like. Harp is one that I like a lot. And then I like Caffrey's, which was bought out by Coors not that long ago. And they did it to kind of snuff the market for Blue Moon. It's a creamy beer. And I think that those are my three favorites if I was just looking for taste. And all of them have high percentages, 4.8, 3.8, stuff like that. They're in the high range.
Well, I like to drink pale ales. I mean, that's a major style that's made by a lot. I like to drink those. I'm not a dark beer person at all.
Is there any dark that you like? Is there like a Newcastle or a Fat Tire, like an Amber or an IPA that you go to?
Well, a lot of people might think it would be Guinness. I do like Guinness. I have mentioned I'd like Guinness.
It's hard to not like it, especially from the tap. And we got to point out that there's such a big difference from bottle to tap. It's huge.
It's more aerated. So even any beer, even if it comes out of a bottle or a can, if you pour it into a glass, it airs out more and it's actually more pleasant on the palate to drink than from drinking from a can or a bottle.
To your point, Rob, I know that people make fun of Pabst Blue Ribbon all the time. We have a bowling alley here in Vegas that does like dollar bowling after midnight and dollar Pabst on draft after midnight. And man, Pabst off the draft, pretty drinkable to me. But give me a can of that shit, it's disgusting.
That sounds like a Judas Priest song.
No, you buried it. It's a Frank Zappa song. Everybody knows that.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Got his appetite for Pabst.
Well, like I said, I like Guinness, but here's the thing. Those are stouts and porters. I like using Guinness to cook with. I mean, I'll make a mean stew with a Guinness stout.
That's interesting.
Cooking with beer also is a great thing to do. You know, you have your beer can chickens and stuff like that. But a lot of people don't know is you have to drink half the can of beer when you're making a beer can chicken. And some people also have to realize you just don't stick a beer can up the chicken's butt unopened. You have to actually open the can.
Leaving it closed. Too gross, man.
It will explode inside the grill. That's why I'm saying that. There'll be chicken shrapnel everywhere.
Can I side tangent for America a story of how dumb Nikki the Greek is? I was sleepy and I was trying to get to work and I wanted to shake my espresso before work because I'm pretentious as fuck, right? I'm West Coast. And I brewed the double shot espresso into the martini shaker like an asshole. And I forgot to put the ice in and I closed it and shook it and it exploded all over my kitchen.
Un café.
It looked like the backseat in that Pulp Fiction, you know, when he closes that off.
Why am I on brain detail? That's a great story in the history of Nick.
It was a rough morning.
I'll tell you what, in the hot time here in New England where we have the four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall, I like Shandy beers. Have you ever had a Shandy beer?
I don't think so.
Okay. It's a crisp, fruity, sweet, light-bodied beer. Like a Leidenkugel. Ever have a Leidenkugel, a Hefeweizen?
I think I have, yeah. It sounds familiar.
I like those. I like beers with like wheat-based beers, but lighter.
It's got to be light. It's got to be more on the light side.
You know what I like, though, when I'm at a bar in Vegas? I like drinking a Stella. And especially,
oh, yeah. Stella off the tap in Vegas is huge, and that's one of my go-tos, obviously.
Some of them have it in the bottles. It's not the same. That's what the glass comes in. Yeah. I mean, you also, you can't scrape the top of the gold rimmed goblet when you're pouring it into a glass that they're giving you at the Hard Rock. You know,
not the Hard Rock anymore. Yeah.
Blue Moon is another one that I like. I like the fruitier, the beers that have like a little citrusy taste to them.
You put the orange in your Blue Moon or no?
Yes, I do.
It's all right. It's not my go-to, but I'll have it once in a while.
There was a time, I'll tell you a little story about old Uncle Bookie. On an off night at the bar he worked at as the DJ, hot summer night, really hot, like 98 degrees with 300% humidity in Massachusetts. And I went down to that bar and they had on tap strawberry blonde ale.
Sounds like it could be good, yeah.
Well, let me tell you, those were 20-ounce drafts. 15 of later of them, I was six sheets to the wind. Delicious beer, though. I mean, I don't believe they make that brand. I can't even remember what it was, but it was on tap and it was delicious. If you were desperate and you wanted a beer on a hot, hot, hot day, would you drink A, Coors Light, B, Bud Light, C, Miller Lite, or D, Poland Springs water out of a bottle?
If you said Amstel Light, I'm in. I think I'm going Poland Springs there. No, I can drink a Bud Light. I can drink a Bud Light. Do I ever buy Bud Light? Fuck no.
You're getting it handed to you.
If it's like an outdoor concert and I have no fucking choice, yeah, I'll drink a Bud Light. I'll deal with it.
Amstel Light, I absolutely hate it.
What? You know why? Oh, it's a good one.
It tastes like burnt wood.
I like a little wood in my beer. No, I like a very popular beer. I don't know if you like the pale ale.
Put a Viagra in your beer?
put a little wood in there. Yeah, make it stiff. No, I think Sierra Nevada pale ale is one of the better ones. And I don't drink a lot of pale ales, but if I was, that's a go-to here in Vegas. But it's got to be cold. All those ones that have that woody or amber have to be cold also. Bud Light, if I had to drink one warm, something like Michelob Ultra or Bud Light, I could drink warm, even though it's pretty
Mick Ultra.
Gross.
You know what they call Mick Ultras?
What's that?
Chickalobes.
Chickalobes. Yeah, it sounds about right. Now, actually, the High Life, Miller High Life's not bad. I could deal with it.
Well, but I'm just a regular Miller, the champagne of beer.
I can't do it. Even in the glass bottle, I don't like it.
Okay. I will drink a Bud Light. I mean, I have done Bud Light. It's a chugging beer for me.
For sure, yeah. Just carbonated water.
At a barbecue competition, I actually downed like four of them with my buddy Steve.
You're the barbecue guy and you're putting jalapenos and shit on your burgers and stuff like that. Look, when it's something like that and I need something to cool the palate because you fed me a bunch of jalapenos, something like Bud Light works really well for that.
I was just hot and sweaty. I just wanted something cold in my body.
What about Sammy? Everybody loves Sammy. I like the Boston Lager. Now, the Winterfest, sometimes like Sammy has this habit of being the guy in the basement putting too much shit in their beer. Don't put all that nutmeg in there, whatever the fuck they do. But Winterfest, Sam Adams Light, one of the best light beers you can buy. And the good old classic Boston Lager. I mean, those are good beers, especially Boston Lager from the tap.
I like Sam. I like Sam Summer. See, I'm more of a seasonal person.
Yeah, it's all right.
I can drink liquor year round, but when it comes to beer, I'm sorry, I will not drink beer in the winter. I'll drink more beer in the summer.
Yeah, I tend to not drink a lot of beer in the winter also. Okay, let's go talk about Corona. Because look, I mean, you put the lime in there, you keep it nice and cold. There's a Corona Light now that I've tried. It's not awful. It's just about the same as Corona. So to me, that's a very summer beer that it seems to always be at a barbecue or something. I'll grab one of those. It's not going to kill me.
I'm not a big Corona fan. I never have been, never will be.
Really?
I just don't like it. You mentioned Sierra Nevada before.
Not a lot
before.
To it. It's a good one, yeah.
All right, now Sierra Nevada compared to Amstel Light is like apples and oranges.
Yeah.
All right, I'll drink the Sierra Nevada, no problem whatsoever. But like you said, it's got to be cold. It's got to be super cold.
Yeah. It's not the only one. Any IPA I drink, I know there's like I think it's Michigan. Two Hearted Ale is one that's really popular, I thought. I get it at Total Wine every once in a while. But man, those IPAs are so earthy, they got to be fucking cold.
You said Michigan. Is it made with that Flint water?
It could be. I'm not going to research that because I've had it.
If I'm desperate and someone has a Coors Light and it's going to be ice cold, the mountains on the Coors Light bottle.
Got to be a glass bottle. Don't give it to me in a fucking can. Yeah,
I don't like cans.
Me neither.
I mean, I have drunk out of cans.
Yeah, I'm not a teenager anymore. Yeah, get that can out of my face.
Beer out of a can compared to soda out of a can is two different things because you can't get soda in a glass bottle in too many places unless you want 10 ounces. But cans with beer with me, I'm not a big fan. How many people out there do you think are going to listen to this and say to us, you guys are crazy. You should try this. You should try that.
Oh, we look forward to it.
I think they should email us at easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com. What about Bud Light Lime? Oh. Bud Light Seltzer? Bud Light Platinum?
Bud Light Flamethrower?
Give me this, Rob, because we got to bounce here pretty soon. But give me a like guilty pleasure beer that like you're okay with still. Like maybe something from your youth that you'll still get every once in a while. Maybe it's nostalgia. Maybe it's the taste. I don't know.
I don't even know if they make what I drank back in the day. It's not a beer. I'm not a fan of Zima.
Oh, yeah. Zima with Dr. Pepper. That was big in my youth.
Zima. I'm talking about, I'm not a fan of the Zima when it came out as
those
the
are like
cold
malt, malt beverages. Yeah.
The regular plain Zima I liked because it tasted like a Fresca.
Yeah, it kind of did. It kind of did. It was like club soda with a hint of something.
Zima Gold was like a golden shower that someone, you know, had in a towel and they wrung it out.
Yeah, I don't remember
exactly.
That one.
You don't want to remember it. It's not there anymore. Don't bother. Don't look for it.
Makes sense. Mickey's. I remember Mickey's. I think mine would be Ice House. Most people think Ice House is pretty disgusting. It's Miller, right? I think Miller Coors makes Ice House. But once in a while, maybe once a year, I delve into the back garage of some grocery store and see a six pack of Ice House. And I'm like, yeah, fuck it. Let's do this.
Oh my God. Miller Genuine Draft. That was one that came out of
my Oh, yeah. MGD. Yeah. It was, it had its moment in the sun. It was popular for a second there.
Red Dog.
Oh, Red Dog. Yeah. I actually didn't hate that one. At least that had some body to it.
And I used to drink
Rolling Rock. Is that,
Rolling
is
Rock,
that the one?
That's it.
Yeah. Actually, that's still around, right? It's not around anymore?
It's probably not. I haven't seen it here. I haven't seen it
I
here.
I haven't seen it in a long time
a
either.
Long
yeah.
time.
Since I know back east, we drank Molson, Molson Light, Molson Dark or something. They had a couple of those Canadian beers that got really popular. Overseas, there was a bunch that I like Cronenberg. There was a bunch of these other beers that I liked over there. Certainly Caffrey's was the one that I remember the most. Overseas, I also like cider, but we'll save that for another episode.
I miss a nice, refreshing Coke 45.
Oh, God. I'm pretty sure I've thrown those up a few times.
40 ounces, you know, very popular yeah. here in the Northeast.
Cheap and at the corner store.
Yeah. You can buy a Lucy cigarette to go along with it.
Oh, grab some Fun Dip, too. Why not? Fuck it, man. Because the world is burning.
One more bottle of beer on the wall.
Let me get one more in. Sapporo. Japanese beer.
Oh.
Pretty consistently good.
I remember back in the day when I took you and your two sisters to the Japanese restaurant in Nashua, New Hampshire, at the teppanyaki table, and they were performing in front of us. And
yeah.
I had like, what did I have, like four or five of those?
It's like a show and you get to eat. Shockingly goes well with sushi. It's a weird thing that like beer goes so well with sushi. Again, it's got to be cold, right?
Like I said, we have my vodka drink. We're talking about lager drinks. And I think it's time to move on to what? Recommendations?
Recommendations. Rob, you got anything to recommend this week?
The Flight Attendant. I've been watching that on HBO Max. It's with Kaylee Cuoco.
From Big Bang, right?
From the Big Bang Theory.
One of the first shows, I think, to come out on HBO Max, right?
Yeah. Rosie Perez is in this also.
Oh, I love Rosie Perez.
It's a fun little show. Really difficult to explain. You have to actually watch it. So if you have HBO...
1 hour or half an hour?
Well, it's an hour show where they cut them down. They're like between 42 and 46 minutes.
How many episodes for this first season?
I think there's 8. Okay. I'm on episode
All
6.
Right. I'd like to know what kind of investment I have to make.
Also, I've recommended the game shows are back on all the major networks, you know, from Beach Shazam to the $100,000 Pyramid.
Is the Gronk game show back?
It is not back. I don't
think
it will
be. Because he's playing football?
Yeah. He's playing football. If they could come back and Edelman takes his place on that show.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, that's gold, man. Let's do that.
That would be gold. But
the floor
all the game
is
shows,
lava with Julian Edelman. That's what I want to see.
Oh, my God. That show's so stupid. Do you have any recommendations?
I just have one. I have a friend who bought a franchise. I think off of Shark Tank, right? And brought it to Las Vegas. And I was lucky enough to go during its first few weeks open. And it is Heart Attack City, but in such a good way. Fat Shack on Bermuda and Silverado in Las Vegas is amazing. It's got a great menu. The service is unbelievable and it's a lot of fun. So Fat Shack, check it out. Look it up locally. Or if you're in Vegas, it's on Silverado and Bermuda.
You have any shout outs?
Shouts, always shouts. RealWatchability.com. Top 10 movies of the year. Top 10 movies of all time. We didn't review it, but In the Heights. Yeah, I kind of liked it. Man, you can always catch me on the pod Talking Flick, talkingflick.com.
And once again, our email is easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
Twitter address is @nickandrobe2w.
Twitter.
Our website is www.nickandrobe2w.com.
Where you can catch that beautiful Julian Edelman goodbye piece that is tear jerking, just like In the Heights.
The review. reviews for it are amazing. Outstanding, says the New York Times.
It was much better than Cats. I want to see it again and again.
Well, folks, before we head off and say goodbye, we're going to let you all know that we will be back. We're taking a little hiatus for the holidays. July 12th, we'll be back with a new episode.
Absolutely. Happy 4th of July. Happy Father's Day.
Peace.
Closing time, open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Get down, turn around, go to town, boot, scoot, boogie. Coughlin's Law, crack an egg, put a little tomato juice in there.
Ugh, I don't know, it may be more, I don't know, could be less. Yeah. Have a fun little Sunday at the, you know, a home, you know, at the Home Depot. Maybe go to Bed Bath & Beyond. Who knows? 50 miles down the road to the Fat Shack.
Fat Jack, baby.
I said a Fat Jack, baby.
I got burgers and fries.
All right, we're going to edit all that out. All that's going. But I appreciate you committed to it.
Well, that's good. That's it. Go to the blooper reel.
That is definitely going at the end of the show.
And our website is www.com.